This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we begin today in Southern California, where a lot of people don't have the time or the luxury to be outraged by the president's latest comments. In the early hours of Tuesday morning in small and affluent Montecito near Santa Barbara, California, neighbors woke up to a sound like a freight train and a horrifying scene, mud rushing down the mountain into their community and down the streets. Mud as much as 10 feet deep in some places, tossing boulders and cars, even uprooting houses. At least 17 people are dead, and rescue workers are searching for dozens more still missing. Here's Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown on CBS on Wednesday.
I think most people are really shocked at the extent of the damage and how big the impact was to the area. Although we knew that this was coming, it was just, you couldn't help but be amazed at the intensity of the storm and the result of the mudslide and the water that cascaded down the hills as a result of that.
Only a few weeks ago, Montecito and the surrounding area went through another harrowing natural disaster, a massive wildfire that burned more than 250,000 acres. The fires created a landscape ripe for floods and mudslide, denuded of trees, and the mud came down much more quickly than many residents expected. Montecito resident Ben Hyatt talked to us about the harrowing moment when the mud came.
I actually saw all the rain coming, and I kind of thought that it might be a bad storm. So I actually did try to stay awake. I actually fell asleep on the couch in the living room, and I was awoken when the power went out or flickered, and then our fans started going. I immediately tried to figure out what was going on, went out the front door and looked, and it was just raining. And then it started raining really, really hard, like the hardest I've seen.
What happened next?
So from there, I looked out on the street and there was, you know, water going down the street, like maybe 1 or 2 inches, nothing out of the ordinary. Went back inside. That cell storm that was really powerful was 5 minutes. And so when the cell storm went over our house, it was headed straight for the mountains. So that started to worry me a little bit. I knew it was short, but I also knew that's where the fires were. So I went inside and thought, well, I better stay up just in case, and made a snack and got 2 bites into my snack. And all of a sudden there was just this loud whoosh and the house shaking. And other people have described it as a locomotive. And I think that's how I would describe it now as well. And it was at that point 3 feet of mud surrounding the house, and it was pitch black.
You looked out the window of your house and could you see the mud piling up?
Yeah, that was the scary part. So the back part of our house is a lot of glass windows and stuff. And so our glass garden doors all started buckling inwards. The mud was trying to push in. And at that point, it was about 3 feet. That surprised me because I thought our backyard was pretty sheltered from the mountains. And so I immediately, my son was sleeping in his room. My daughter, thankfully, was at a sleepover away from our house. So my 8-year-old, I went in and grabbed him and threw him on, the top bunk. What I was most concerned about, even though we're, you know, I want to say we're 2 miles from the base of the mountain, I was most concerned that that mud was just going to keep rising. I really, at that moment, thought that it could end up going as high as the ceiling. My wife woke up to my screaming to get up, and the first instinct was to push furniture against all the glass and the doors to keep them from shattering and everything coming in. And there was definite panic at that point.
And how did you and the family get out of the house?
I thought, well, we can't open the doors. If we open the doors, all the mud's coming in. I was trying to figure out how we could get to the roof, and couldn't figure that out. So there wasn't a lot you could do at that particular moment. But then the mud ended up receding about 6 inches over the next 3 hours, still, you know, mid-thigh deep. And firemen then started coming around the neighborhood around 7 a.m. to get everybody out of the neighborhood.
And what happened with you and what happened with the neighbors waiting for rescuers to show up and when they finally did?
Well, there's a couple stories on our street. So I could hear right after this hit, I thought it was a cat, but it was a lady across the street yelling for help, which I wanted to help her, but I couldn't get across that river of mud. And thankfully, I watched from our kitchen. Our neighbor that lives next door to her was able to go in and get her out, but her wall had collapsed. Her mountain-facing wall had collapsed in the bedroom she was sleeping in, and she got thrown against a wall. We have another lady, the group of houses that are at the top of the neighborhood that parallel the mountains. The mud came right through her house, and her son's bedroom. They ended up using a mattress to get up onto the roof. Just scary stuff.
And home is unlivable now, I know, Ben. Where are you right now, by the way, talking to us?
So we're in a hotel up in Pismo Beach. We kind of evacuated with a couple other Montecito families. And we just wanted to get our kids' minds off this. And so we're up at a beach hotel about an hour and a half up the coast.
But this is the second time in the last few weeks even that you've been evacuated, right? I mean, as trying a time as this is, you've kind of had a 1-2 punch because the fires were through your area not too long ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were just through this in December. So, you know, we put up our Christmas tree and celebrated my daughter's birthday. And then the next day, we were actually the first day of the fires, we were a voluntary evac zone. But the air quality was terrible and writing was on the wall that it wasn't going to be good. So we left, and later that afternoon, it became a mandatory. So we spent 9 days in a hotel in Santa Monica for the fires.
And then back home and now this.
Back home, and we actually went to Canada for Christmas, came home, kids had 2 days of school, and then this happened.
It's an awful time, Ben, and I'm glad that you and your family are okay, but Montecito is a small town, 17 people as far as we know now already dead and dozens more missing, which is tragic in and of itself, but it's a small place. I mean, this is a lot of people.
Yeah, Montecito is very small and it's very, very tight knit. That's why we love it. And, you know, we know so many of our neighbors and so many of the people in our school. We did get good news that all 400 families in our school are accounted for and safe, which is incredible. But there's a couple of the names that have passed away that we know. And it's very sad. And we're just not hearing any good news. Hopefully we'll hear better news today. Mm.
And how are the kids? What are you able to tell them at this point?
The kids are actually with me now, but my son Jack, I will tell you, was very, very brave throughout it all. He was carried out on the back of a fireman, which is always fun for an 8-year-old boy. My daughter Riley, thankfully, she was on the other side of the 101, so just, you know, 6 blocks away at a sleepover. She missed the whole thing, and she was so happy to see us in the morning, and the neighborhood she was in, which again was 6 blocks away, it was like nothing happened.
And what are you hearing from school at this point? It's a tight-knit community, a one-school district, but so many families affected, and the school affected as well. What are you hearing from them?
The last I heard, I think the school at the moment is not open, but they're hoping to be open on Monday. But I don't know how that's going to happen.
Was school closed in December when the fire warnings and the evacuations came?
Yes. So what they did is they closed school, you know, for a couple of days, and then they decided, you know what, it's Christmas vacation or holiday vacation. Maybe let's just cancel the week. So the kids lost a week there. They've lost, I guess, this week. And my wife actually just mentioned that nobody can get in. I mean, that whole area, I just don't know how they're going to do school.
And when do you think you might head back?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to be in our house for a few weeks. Hopefully at some point we can actually get into the house and get some stuff out. But I think that maybe we can get back to Montecito, hopefully, or maybe just Santa Barbara in the next week or so.
Well, Ben, you taking the time at a time like this to talk to us and share your experience with us means an awful lot. So I wish you the best, and the kids and your wife, your whole family up there in Pismo. So thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate your time as well.
Ben Hyatt is from Montecito, California. His home is currently evacuated. And you can see how Ben documented the damage to his home and his neighborhood on his Twitter feed. It's Caffeine Ben. Give you a real sense of the severity and the devastation of these mudslides in California.
Montecito Union School is in a public safety exclusion zone right now, so we can't even step foot on campus because the hardworking first responders are still in an active recovery mission.
That's Anthony Rainey. He's superintendent for the Montecito Union School District, where Ben Hyatt's kids go to school. He says the school is physically okay, but there's no gas, no safe drinking water.
Some of the roads are still impassable, including 101, a main artery throughout California, of course, but also it's a big way that our staff members get to the site.
But even once the school opens its doors, eventually, Superintendent Rainey says it's not just a matter of getting back to classes.
We expect that some folks will be, you know, out of their homes and relocated for a period of time while, you know, we've got homes destroyed, we've got homes filled with mud, we've got people that are missing vehicles and possessions, you know, some people literally left with the clothes on their back and all of their other possessions are gone. So, you know, we're planning a compassion center at Montecito Union School to, you know, give families information, connect them with services, and, you know, welcome families back as they're able to return to school.
Anthony Rainey says the school is also preparing the extra help the kids might need when they do come back.
We know for some, they'll want to go right back into to math and art and go on to other things. Other students will need to process with their teachers. And other students will need to have some more significant resources. So we are bringing some mental health professionals onto campus to make sure we can attend to that. And you can't always predict which students will need support. So we're trying to get multi-layers of support ready to take the kids where they are.
Anthony Rainey is the superintendent of the Montecito Union School District. And again, our thanks to Ben Hyatt for sharing his family story with us. Are you or your loved ones affected by the mudslides in Southern California? Call us. Tell us your stories. 8778-MY-TAKE is the number.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.